Megan, did you have any orange juice this morning?
You know, I didn't. I had cranberry apple juice.
You should have had orange juice. Do you know why? Well,
no. I mean, besides the vitamin C content and the fact that I like a reasonable but not crazy amount of pulp and juice, which are both fine reasons to drink orange juice.
Yeah, you should have drank it because of Magic Origins to celebrate that the new set's coming out.
Oh, that's right. Magic Oranges, the new set.
Yeah, Magic Oranges, where Wizards decided to add a new color, orange, to the color pie.
Yeah, I mean, so far it's still, it's got a lot of, I feel like it's a pretty sour color. they're pretty bitter. Everybody, all of the character and the flavor associated with it seems just, you know.
Sour.
Pretty sour with the world. A bunch of grumpy old men. The main flavor characters in Magic Oranges in Orange are grumpy old men.
I would think that it's just Boros cards, you know, that have red and white casting cost.
Okay, so they decided, they were like, oh, people like Boros so much.
Yeah, right.
It's an entire Boros set, Magic Oranges.
That's an entire Boros set. Maria, what? How did you like your first taste of orange?
Orange, my first taste of Magic Oranges was great, and we're going to talk about it coming up in the show, which, by the way, the name of the show, if you aren't aware, get your head out of the cave, but it's Magic the Amateuring.
By the way, we don't recommend keeping just your head in a cave. If you have found shelter and it is big enough for the rest of you, go for it.
I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm your other host, Megan, a cave expert. That's a lie.
No, Megan, be a cave expert.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I mean, ask me a question about a cave.
Okay. How many bats per square inch in the average cave?
That's like,
BSI. BPSI?
Half a bat.
Okay. That's probably right.
0.5 BSI per cave on average.
Yeah, screw going to get your master's in writing. Get your master's in caves.
Oh, that'd actually be pretty cool.
Well, as we mentioned on today's show, we're going to be talking about Magic Origins, aka Oranges. The pre-release was this past weekend, and Megan and I both attended one, and in my opinion, it was fantastic. So we're going to talk about how we liked the new set, what kind of crazy decks we played and played against, that sort of thing, which cards were our all-stars. And we've got some news for you on bans or no bans. And drawing extra cards. So a real meaty show, if you will. If you're a vegetarian, a real veggie show. You know, either way.
Man. The show's going to veg out.
So, Magic Oranges.
Yeah, man. It was a set. It is a set. It's the last core set. At the beginning of Magic time, it was told that one day we would see the end of the core sets. I have to tell you, my friends, that day has arrived.
I know it's come. I never thought I would see the day, but here it is. And do you know what? My overall verdict? Great.
I mean, I had a lot of fun. So far, I am enjoying this much more than the last core set.
Oh, yes.
But then again, you can't fall off the floor. So...
What if you were in space?
I mean, is there a floor?
You're correct. That was a trick question. There's no such thing as a floor in space.
Every floor in space is just another wall, man.
Yeah, yeah. I think Carl Sagan said that.
Wise man, Carl Sagan.
He said it like a 70s hippie. Every floor in space is just like a wall, man. Oh, God. Anyway, yeah, I mean, maybe this will come back to bite me because it is such early days in the format. Technically, the set hasn't even been released yet. It will be this weekend. But early days, I mean, I liked it. I went to the pre-release at our LGS Mead Hall here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And while I was there, I talked to a couple of people, including one who had played the midnight pre-release the day before and was back for the noon, how they were looking forward to the upcoming set and how their play was the previous night. Take a listen.
Like Secretariat, Maria took to the field.
Yes. Okay, I'm here at the pre-release for Magic Oranges, a.k.a. Origins, with our good friend Nicholas. Nicholas, how are you feeling today?
I'm fantastic, Maria. I got the day off. I'm here playing Magic for the first time in about a year, so it feels pretty good.
Wow. Are you feeling like you're going to be rusty?
Yeah, I definitely feel like I had to kind of prime up for the last couple days.
Pumping some weights?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, lifting carts and making sure I can still shuffle well. It's an important skill to have. I'm excited, though. It's going to be a good time.
What color are you going?
I do not know yet. I feel like the last time we talked about doing a pre-release, it was M15, and I was like, I'm not sure what color I'm doing. Your listeners can go back to the archives and check on that. But yeah, I think white is probably strong, but my favorite color is black, so I'm not sure how I'm going to end up here.
It's a classic head versus heart debate, you know?
It absolutely is. It's more the good versus evil in white versus black, too. So
you could play white and black, just force it.
I won't say no to that. I will not. I will not say no to that.
Why are you drawn to white? Just because the cards seem powerful? I agree with you.
Yes, but I think so. I think from the spoilers that I've seen, and I spent some time last night looking through everything, the power of white cards across casting costs seems strong. Like, there's a strong card at every drop, and black doesn't seem as strong until you get into the higher casting cost cards, which can make an early game tough.
So what card are you most looking to play with today?
I would like to open a Liliana. I think...
Well, then maybe you should choose black, Nicholas.
I think so. I think you're right. I think that would be... I like the flavor of the flipping planeswalkers. I think that's a cool tactic inside of Origins to kind of give you the feel of birthing a planeswalker, which is super cool.
The birthing of planeswalker?
Yeah, because you are, because you're turning from a regular person into a planeswalker, like you're to...
The spark is igniting, Nicholas. Yeah. Nobody is giving birth in this scenario.
Well, all right, I'm looking forward to igniting the spark of a planeswalker.
All right, good luck, high five to you.
Thank you.
All right, Chaz, you played the midnight pre-release and you're back again for more action.
So back again, yes, for action.
Tell me, what did you learn playing at midnight?
Well, I was just telling Andrew about it. You got here too late and I'm keeping all the secrets to myself.
No, you can't. You can't.
Can we get a more pointed, directed?
Sure. What color did you pick, and what were the all stars of your deck?
I took black. I ended up with two decks. I had kind of a mediocre pool all the way around. So I ended up not playing black in my main deck. The all-stars, I ended up playing like a red-white aggro dude. Was very happy with Prickle Boar.
Yeah, cutest card!
That card was sweet. That card's very, very tough to beat.
I think he's great. I mean, and he's also adorable.
He's so adorable. I cuddled with him last night when I went to sleep. He was.
Do you have cuts all over your body?
My skin's tougher than it looks. He wasn't that prickly.
How many prickle boards did you have?
I just had one, but I drew.
That's all you need.
The red five drops seem very good. It's kind of hard to pick. Like even the one that falters flyers.
Great.
That guy was good. Like I said, Prickle Boar was good. Renown seems like a real deal. Like, it seems like it makes combat very tough. Like, sometimes you have to trade off when you don't want to, or stuff like that. So Renown seemed like a very powerful mechanic.
What color are you picking today?
I got in late, so whatever color they have available, it looks like that will probably be blue. Blue seemed to be the last picked thing.
It does seem, I mean, just from looking at the spoiler, I'm not really sure, sort of underpowered, at least on the creature front.
Yeah, it definitely, I mean, blue's always that way. There aren't that many creatures that, like, super blow you away. My second deck last night was a blue-black kind of control-y, tempo-ish deck. And then the 6/9 uncommon.
Trampler?
That dude's good. That dude, I like him a lot.
Not much that can get through that.
He's a good man.
Isn't he some kind of fish man?
He's a fish man zombie boy. I don't know what he is, but...
That sounds like a great movie.
It was.
Are you going to fall asleep on the table?
Haven't decided yet.
All right, we'll see. Good luck to you today.
All right. Thank you, Maria.
So Megan, yeah, how was the pre-release for you?
You know, I had a pretty baller time, despite the fact that, as always, I forgot to register until the very last minute.
Classic Megan.
Because that's how I roll, man. You gotta call a spade, and you gotta call a person who is perpetually late when doing anything a person who's perpetually late when doing anything. So
that is a long nickname to say.
I mean, I am who I am, man.
Okay.
So I got blue because it was the color nobody wanted.
Nobody wanted blue at our store.
Nobody wanted blue, which I would love to know from our listeners if there were any colors at their stores, which were similarly the brunt of some player shade throwing.
I don't want to speak too early, but I mean, I was seeing some aggressive decks do some work. But I was also seeing some control decks do some work. So maybe that was why people were off blue originally. Yeah, I don't know. Hypothesis. I mean, everybody liked white at my pre-release. That was the color to be.
Yeah, I think white, green, black went first. And then red went second to last. And then blue was the unloved child of the family.
Well, you made it work, though.
I sure did. I ended up going blue-green. I had a Willbreaker as my blue promo. I also had, as two of my rares, I had Painlands. Were two of my rares.
Oh, sick beats.
Yep, plus a Tragic Arrogance, which I wanted to play. But white was not particularly good in my pool. A sword of the animist,
sword.
Which I did play, and a Nissa Vastwood Seer.
Oh snap!
Yeah, man.
You have Nissa and her sword.
I did. I had Nissa and her baller sword.
That's awesome.
It was pretty sweet, man. So yeah, I would say that my deck was a little bit more tempo oriented.
Oh, nice.
I had a butt ton of three drops.
Is that the technical term?
Yeah, a butt ton.
Okay.
It's a metric measurement. We're not really familiar with it here in the US.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we don't use metric system.
Sure.
Plus two claustrophobia and some two drops as well, and then some bounce spells and a couple of Whirler Rogues, which is the two blue 2/2 that puts two Thopters into play.
That card is insane.
Yeah, and then you can tap two artifacts to make a creature unblockable for the rest of the turn. So that was pretty sweet.
I can't believe I sort of, well,
I got two of those. They were very good.
Part of me wants to say that card seems rare. I mean, I guess it's not almost rare.
I haven't played it. It's uncommon.
Okay.
But it is very good.
Does she have flying too? The 2/2?
No.
Okay.
Just a 2/2.
All right.
And then I do have to say, so mostly it was tempo oriented, you know. I would I'd play out a bunch of two drops, and then I would, you know, claustrophobia them, or wild instincts them, or bounce them, or make my creatures unblockable and just get in for damage. But sometimes I did some cool stuff. Like I had a Willbreaker, which I mentioned, which is the 3 blue rare, for a 2/3 human wizard, and it says whenever a creature an opponent controls becomes the target of a spell or ability you control, gain control of that creature for as long as you control Willbreaker. So that's, you know, like that's all right.
Yeah, but I had a question about it though. How many ways how many ways did you have to target? And two, weren't you afraid that if they just killed it, they would get all their guys back?
One, it is a core set, so there's not a ton of removal to start out with. And it is a 5-drop, and I noticed that at least my opponents all kind of used their removal a little early. I did have a Nissa, so that usually drew out some removal.
Yeah.
Or a Whirler Rogue would draw out some removal. But that was definitely a concern, and it only happened once. But I had 5 incidental ways to target. That's not counting 2 claustrophobia and 2 wild instincts. which obviously are kill spells. So not counting those, 5 ways that I could target creatures my opponent controlled with Willbreaker. And sometimes it was pretty devastating.
Did you just have the claustrophobia creatures over on your side of the board just because you're like, I'm a dick?
They're mine, man. I actually don't think, I don't know that I ever claustrophobia'd something after I Willbreakered. I don't know if I ever had that interaction, but I would have. Would have been like, give me that.
It lives but with anyways, me now.
Yeah. Because I had a Yeva's Force Mage, which is the 2 in a green target creature gets +2/+2 until end of turn.
Oh my gosh.
And relevantly, it says target creature, not target creature you control. So that is obviously very, you know.
good.
That's very good. Whirler Rogue says tap 2, untap artifacts you control. Target creature can't be blocked this turn.
Oh my gosh.
So you make their thing unblockable. And Nivix Barrier, which I played 2 of, is the flash defender that a target attacking creature gets -4/-0 until end of turn, which is obviously a little bit more niche, but still it's just like, you know, it's an effect that just comes on a creature anyways.
Yeah.
So it was actually really sick. And there were times when I stole my opponent's entire board, which was pretty cool.
You're a thief, a Jessian thief.
I also had a Jessian thief.
Oh, well.
Jessian thief. I think it's Jessian.
Did you like Deep Sea Terror? I see you ran one of those.
That was just so that my deck, I felt like it was tempo oriented and I wanted one big high end thing just in case.
Mm-hmm.
And it did, you know, sometimes it is, you play a 6/6 for 6, and it stabilized the board.
It's just a blocker.
If I needed it. Exactly. And later on in the game, you know, you do have enough cards in your graveyards, you can attack with it, and then it's a pretty big body.
All right.
Yeah, I got to flip Nissa twice.
This deck looks pretty sweet. If you guys want to take a look at it, follow us on Twitter at MTAcast and go through some of our past tweets. You can see pictures of both Megan and my deck, and this looks really fun to play.
I was very happy with it. Nissa, when you flip her, is just absurd.
Oh, yes, she is. She's definitely the best.
it's +1, and you get a card no matter what. If it's a land, it goes into play, and if it's a spell, it goes into your hand.
No big deal.
When I realized, at first I thought it was just +1, like, look at the top card. If it's a land, put it into play. I didn't even read the second part. And I read the second part, and I was like, oh, this is just stupid good. So, and sometimes if I needed a 2/2, I'd play her on turn 3, and sometimes I would, like, you know, play her on 6 and flip her next turn, which is pretty sweet.
Wow. Oh, Nissa. I hope to play with her one day. I mean, jeez.
I hope that for everybody.
I think
she's a wonderful friend to have.
She's going to see play in Standard. I mean, let's get real.
Yeah, you think so?
I think so. I mean, I don't know anything about Standard, so what am I talking about? But I mean...
Anything, I feel like anything that has a plus ability that nets you a card, no matter what, is quite good. The fact that she is actually very mediocre until 7 is kind of meh. Or 6, because if you have 6 lands in play and you play her, then you can fetch the last one with her ability and put it into play. But I'm interested to see where she goes. You know, I think that kid's got potential.
Yes, she does.
she's got that spark, you know?
And great boots.
Yeah, really good boots.
So, yeah, overall, did you feel like you weren't having any feelings like this set is boring or this kind of card is continually beating me and it's really annoying? Or, you know,
I did not have that feeling at all.
No premonitions of any sort of situation that we saw last time.
Any triplicate spirits type situations?
Yeah, any spidey sense, some triplicate spirits spidey sense.
You know, right now, not as far as I can tell.
All right, good.
So that, but you know, at the same time, you know, triplicate spirits, it snuck up on us.
Yeah, it did.
We knew it was good, but we didn't know it was that good until it was.
Man, we have some major PTSD over triplicate spirits.
We really do. It messed us up big time.
We see it, we're like, run!
I pass out cold.
Oh, you just straight up pass out?
I just, all right. I'm faint dead away, man.
Well, I went white at the pre-release because it seemed like a very aggressive color. And I'd been reading a few things before I went from people who had been at the midnight the night before. And they said there is just some really amazing white cards that can get you off to a good early start. And that kind of, you know, when I...
Yeah, what were they talking about?
Well, they were mostly talking about Toppin Freeblade, which is a 2/2 for one and a white. It has Vigilance and Renown 1. So basically, yeah, it can become a 3/3 for 2 if you're able to get that first hit in, which you usually are.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. I have learned my lesson about Sealed in that I... you know, in the recent past, have not been building aggressive decks. You know, I'd always be tempted to, and then I would just completely get slammed. And so I've been thinking, you know what, Maria, just never do it. Just never do it. Build a controlling build and just deal with it, because it's not going to happen for you. So this was actually pretty shocking to me to hear people saying, oh, I was running people over with my Rakdos deck, or I had this Boros build and it just destroyed people. And I was like, oh, well, let's see if this can work. Now, the pre-release isn't the perfect environment for this, obviously, because you do have a seeded pack, which is going to give you some extra card advantages. So you'll have more cards to choose from. But I can say that this little Boros build that I made did pull its weight. So I had 2 Toppin Freeblades. I can confirm that card is nuts. Anointer of Champions, which is that one drop that you can tap to give something +1/+1 until end of turn. Talk about that with Willbreaker. But I was playing red. I did actually have a Willbreaker in my pool, but it was a close call. In the end, I went with red. Anointer of Champions is the real deal. That card is so good. Your opponent just can't block, right? They just can't block. It's sort of like you're a turn ahead all the time. That's what it feels like.
That's pretty sweet. It's a pretty sweet deal, man. +1/+1 when you want it and when you need it.
That's right. And it's two ladies on that card, by the way. One is anointing a lady warrior. I love it.
Yeah, man.
So the all-stars of my deck, of course, would have to be my 4 Celestial Flares.
That's an insane number of Celestial Flares.
I know. And here's the thing.
I just want to be clear. That's...
I kept opening them and I was like, all right, will I play 2? Yeah. Will I play 3? Sure. Will I play 4? All right. I'm not too good for that. So I played all 4 of them. And the worry with Celestial Flare is that your opponent will attack you with more than one creature, like a stupid little 1/1 or whatever, because they're playing around it and they want to sack their worst dude. But the thing is, I wasn't playing against a ton of tokens. Maybe it's because I just never faced the Thopter deck, but they killed their thing. Maybe people just aren't playing around it yet, but we'll see. I mean, it was...
Yeah. I mean, there's also, you know, sometimes you have you don't have a lot of creatures in this set. It is a core set, which does mean, you know, there's not as many token style strategies.
Right. That's true. I mean, Thopters, as you know, if you listen to the show, is the deck I most want to draft for sure, because I just think it's so silly. A bunch of Thopters up in the air flying around. I didn't face it. So maybe if I had faced that deck, I would have done worse. But then again, I was aggressive, so I think I could have raced them. The other cards I wanted to quickly mention are Stalwart Aven, which I've now nicknamed Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, because it looks like a man and a bird had a beautiful love child together. It is a 1/3 flying Renown 1 for 2 and a white. And this becomes a 2/4 really quick. And
sizable flyer, man.
Not much in the set can deal with that until you get up to the rare slot, you know, or a 6-drop or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, Thopters are dead against it. Charging Griffin doesn't know what to do.
He's like, hey guys, I don't get it. I don't. Do I charge? do I charge? But do I?
Charge it. Name that movie, Megan.
Legally Blonde.
I mean, it could be Legally Blonde, but I was... What was I quoting?
I have literally
the Flintstones movie. Oh, with real people?
What?
Oh, boy. Do you remember that movie? With, John Goodman in it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I have, a distinct picture in my mind of John Goodman.
Yes.
Playing Fred.
Yep.
Oh, Flintstone.
Wish I didn't have that memory. Anyway.
I've blocked the rest of the film out.
I had Gideon's Phalanx as my rare, which that card, I mean, everybody knows it's insanity. You get to make 4/2/2 white knights with vigilance. And if you have spell mastery, they're indestructible until end of turn. So it's an instant, complete blowout sometimes. I played the land Foundry of the Consoles, which is 5 and a tap, and you sacrifice it, and you get 2 Thopters. So I was like, I don't know if this is good or not. I think I would rate it as a D. But if you're not worried about your mana base, put her in.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing like, I mean, when you get flooded,
Turn
that sucker into some Thopters.
One of my favorite moments was using my throwing knife to kill my opponent. Like, I'd throwing knife to the face, and it was just so flavorful that I, like, did the motion. I was like, sack the throwing knife to your face. And I, like, threw the knife.
Did you throw the card at his face?
No, I would have.
Throw the card at your opponent's face, and Maria, did you murder someone at the pre-release?
Megan, I shouldn't have told this story. Oh, God. The police.
Maria, it's...
But
we can't protect you. We can't hide you here.
It was so flavorful, Megan.
Maria, you need to run. Canada's not that far away.
Can I argue flavor in a court of law?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's one of the amendments to the Constitution.
Think about it, Judge. Would you not have killed your opponent with a throwing knife if they were at 2 and you had the ability to sack it? Are you not human? I would be such a good lawyer.
Do you not too like flavor?
Do you not bleed? What speech am I doing? Oh, yeah. The Merchant of Venice. Anyway, sorry, Shakespeare. that was my deck.
He's pretty personally offended right now.
I went 3-1 with this deck. And Megan, I just have to take a moment. I told you this before we started recording. To talk about the deck I lost to. I did tweet about it. It was the most amazing work of beauty I've ever seen in my entire life. I was humbled in its presence. I went around the store being like, you have to hear about this deck. Which was running Starfield of Nyx, which is a card you should never play. But they were playing it, and it was 100% correct to play it.
Wow.
So they had Sigil of the Empty Throne, which creates 4/4 angels every time you cast an enchantment.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
And Starfield of Nyx was active. Making all the enchantments, you know, whatever, into creatures as well.
Yeah.
There was 2 suppression bonds, maybe more. Now I'm like maybe 3 of the +1/+1 enchantment that taps a dude down when you attack. I'm trying to think of everything. Some other random enchantments and like 2 blessed spirits. So they were just enormous. Kytheon's irregulars. That one statue that's a 6/9 that taps something on your combat step or on your upkeep, rather. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so my Celestial Flares were doing their darndest, but I was
that's a lot of value, man.
I was he cannot possibly have another card, but Claustrophobia. He was playing white, green, blue with 2 Evolving Wilds, which I forgot was in the set. No cards were bad. 0 cards in this deck were bad. There was the one that has Renown 2. It's like green and blue or something like that. No, green and white with Renown 2. And it becomes a 5/5 after it hits or something to that effect. It was nonstop. And then once the Sigil was out there and Starfield of Nyx, you know, could be active, I was just like, there's no way you have another enchantment to make another angel. There's just no way. Let me tell you, Megan, there was always a way.
Maria, like love, Starfield of Nyx always finds a way.
So now my mission is to open Sigil of the Empty Throne sometime.
What is Starfield? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. What is Starfield? Anyways, oh, that God. Was maybe one of the worst songwritings I've ever sung on this show. Sorry.
Yep, I agree.
I'm sorry. We've offended both Shakespeare and whoever wrote that song.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. First Thopters, second Crazy Enchantment deck. Those are the ones I'm looking forward to draft. How about you, Magoons?
I agree that I am very excited after the success of Whirler Rogue.
Yeah.
To try drafting the Thopter deck as well. I would also 100% try Blue Green Tempo again. I had a great time playing it. I don't know if it's going to be a real archetype or if my pool just kind of lent itself well to that, but it certainly felt good. By the way, I went 3-0. I don't know if we mentioned that. And then I intentionally drew the last round, with a guy who apparently had two Gaia's Revenge.
Sick.
In his deck. So we're just gonna call that, like, you know, like a win all around for everybody.
Yes.
I have to say that after having all these incidental ways to target things for Willbreaker, if I in the future open a Willbreaker at a draft, I will 100% try and like the all in Willbreaker deck.
Cool. I think that's awesome.
Where it's just Willbreaker and a lot of incidental ways to target creatures, because that was a lot of fun and it was super cool.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's a mini alternate win condition in a way.
Yeah, man. Oh, like not even alternate win condition. It was a straight up win con in my deck, man.
It's kind of cool. It's a permanent, semi-permanent. What's the word I'm looking for?
God.
Act of treason. It's like, you've converted their soldiers. You know, you went in. You didn't even preach to them. You just kind of like broke their wills, you know? Mm-hmm. You're like, mm-hmm. Look.
You didn't get them to be treasonous.
No.
You told them, there is no purpose in fighting against us. You must fight for us.
It's kind of like the Borg, right?
Yeah, it is very. And I mean, if you look at the card, I mean, I can see some flavor of Borg in there.
I mean, yeah, the Borg were just like, look, we've got it going on over here. Do you want to come in and join our weird ant consciousness? And they're like, yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, it seems futile. Resistance seems futile otherwise. Futile. Futile.
There was no consensus. Some captains said futile, some captains said futile. I'm on the futile train, but that's just me.
Yeah, because otherwise it sounds too much like futile.
Yeah. Resistance is futile.
they only did that in old school UK.
Yeah.
You know, okay, so I'm going to digress briefly to tell a funny story.
Yes.
So I am currently in school. And we just had a guest lecturer who was talking about the importance of, if you're writing sci-fi and fantasy, to know, like, what is the folklore of the culture, or what is the folklore of the people, or what is the folklore of this world. And she was like, okay, like, as an exercise, write down some of the folklore that you grew up with and kind of the lessons that that folklore teaches.
Did you talk about magic?
No. Wait, no, I didn't, because she said grew up with. So people were, you know, like Little Red Riding Hood, like don't talk to strangers. You know, Cinderella, it's always better to be kind. And literally,
that's not the lesson I learned from Cinderella.
Was the lesson you learned from Cinderella be pretty?
No, it was have small feet.
Oh, or a fairy godmother.
Yeah.
Both very valuable lessons, arguably.
True.
Anyways, I was sitting there and the only thing I could think of was I watched it so many times growing up, I wrote down Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home.
Yes.
The lesson is don't hunt any animal to extinction because it will screw you in the future. People were raising their hands and sharing, and at the end I didn't end up raising my hand. I should have. I felt like I should have.
Of course you should have. That is a moment of pride.
It really, I was like, do you know what? This is the folklore I grew up with.
I mean, I know we talked about The Happening last week, but I feel like that's also, you know, the same message. Like, don't hunt trees to extinction or they'll come at you, bro.
Because trees hate being hunted.
Yeah, they do. so overall, great pre-release for me. Sounds like it was good for you as well. Looking forward to playing this set a lot in the coming days. Magic news alert! Magic news alert!
Maria, what's the magic news from the magic news truck?
Well, I'm out here live in front of magic. We've got some news in that that there is no news, Megan.
No news? Why are you standing out in front of magic if there's no news?
Well, the no news is actually news in and of itself. And that, I mean, there was recently...
Maria,
what?
This is a really deep spiral we're spiraling down.
I was gonna say...
I'm in a funnel and we're reaching the bottom of the funnel.
Ooh, a funnel cake?
Ooh, I wish.
Oh, to be inside
a
funnel
cake. You were gonna say.
Oh, yes. The no news is that there were no new bannings announced by Wizards.
Yeah.
So yesterday, aka Monday, Wizards announced no new bannings.
Oh.
What
the
heck?
And everyone said,
Yep.
The last set of bannings, we know quite a few things. Treasure Cruise bit the dust, as did its slightly less attractive cousin, Dig Through Time.
Yeah, I suppose it's how you look at it.
I mean, it is what it is.
All right.
It is what it is.
Sure.
And Birthing Pod.
Yeah, they all bit the dust last time. This time, Wizards did not bring down the chopping block axe on any necks.
That's right. All the necks were saved. The guillotine raised for another day.
Some people were speculating that some stuff from Titan Bloom would be banned because...
I would say that Summer Bloom is the card that people are looking at, which is the card that the deck really abuses.
Right. And people were saying, if they made the case for it being banned and monitored, we should take it out because this deck is possible of, you know, turn two kills or whatever, which is not interactive and Wizards doesn't like that. And some people were whining like, guess Wizards is fine with turn two kills or whatever. But the fact is this deck is extremely hard to pilot and play and rewards a lot of practice and skill. And so I am very happy that it's still around.
I am also very happy that it is still around. And I feel like there's a lot of, it gets me a little angry, you see. I don't know why I needed to change into an old school news reporter to tell you guys that, but it really gets my goat.
Grinds your gears.
Grinds my gears. Spins my top when people get down on combo. Because if you look at it, the deck has actually not had, since the Pro Tour, it hasn't had any significant finishes. It hasn't really finished in the top eight of any significant events. As you mentioned, it is very difficult to pilot.
Oh, yes.
And I think those two things combined make a really good case for the deck remaining in the field. And I feel like a lot of the people that would like to see it banned are kind of combo naysayers in general. And I feel like we give so much appreciation to all of the other types of player out there. There are so many decks for all the mid-range players to play. There are so many decks for the control players to play. There are so many decks for the aggro players to play. And there is a type of player that really loves playing combo. And I think that they're not giving those people, like, they're part of the community too. They're part of the game too. And it makes me sad that people are just like, no, combo is evil and the worst.
It's yeah. Like, hey, man. Yeah. I mean, you guys are like the ones that get the short end of the stick too, because Wizards has to be really careful about combo
Exactly. And they have banned over the course of the years, a lot of really good combo pieces.
Yep, that's very true.
And a lot of good combo decks have been banned out of play. I feel like it's a difficult deck that rewards skill, and it is by no means unbeatable, as results over the past several months have shown. It is very bad against Splinter Twin, so that's always going to keep it in check, because that deck is very popular right now.
True. And Megan and I are both nearly finished, I think, anyway, I am, with some modern decks that we've been constructing over
That's
here.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I was sent a very critical piece of my Boggles deck today from a listener. Thank you, Kevin. I got a foil original Daybreak Coronet from him. So I only need one more Coronet and I will be good to go, minus all the lands. But okay. I did get Misty Rainforest. I'm nearly there.
Nearly there.
What are you building?
What do you need?
I just need like all the lands. So like Razor Grove Thicket, Horizon Canopy, blah blah blah.
Yeah, yeah. I am building Scapeshift.
Ah, yes.
Which I am very excited. It does things that I like, which means that it plays blue spells and counter spells. Which I love. It plays Serum Visions. I like drawing cards. I like scrying cards. It plays four cryptic commands. I like countering cards and drawing cards and remand. So I counter cards and I draw cards. It's really great. For those of you who do not know what Scapeshift is, I am actually working on like a very basic introduction to the deck. So we'll let you know when we've got that up. Because I'm not going to take the time to explain it to you guys now. You know, like any hard science, it's too complicated to talk about on this podcast. Anyways, I'm quite close. I am a couple of lands away myself. So there you go.
The other major news item that came across the wire today had to do with drawing extra cards by accident into your hand during a game. So this, in the past, resulted in a game loss.
Yes, if it was something like a divination.
Boom. Yeah, right. If you cast divination and you drew too many cards by accident, your opponent noticed or you noticed and you're like, oh, whoops. Guess what? Game loss. That was the way they dealt with it. And this created a little bit of contention over the years because players would say, oh, my opponent just thoughtsies me. They obviously know, you know, what the... Anyway, they would get upset about it. So there's a new way to deal with this now that's come down from on high, as it were.
Yes.
So this is the way it's going to be dealt with now. Drawing extra cards is now a warning. So that's a major upgrade. Accompanied by revealing your hand and having your opponent choose the excess cards to shuffle back into your library.
Mm. And by upgrade, you mean upgrade for the person playing.
Yes, it's not a game loss. Not a warning.
Upgrade, not an upgrade in the level in the level of punishment.
An upgrade in that warning's better than a game loss.
Yes.
In that way. So, yeah, this is kind of funny. And, you know, this is the first thing I thought when I read this is, what would you do as an opponent? Say you already knew your opponent's hand or whatever.
Yeah.
Would you take just the best cards and make them put them back in the library? Or would you be a good person and be like, oh, what was the extra one you drew? Shuffle that back in.
Oh, I don't know, man. It's hard to say, because what if it was off like a divination and they drew three cards?
Right.
Do they really clearly know which one of those three was new?
I mean, I don't know.
Or which one of those three was the offending card? Was the card that must be shuffled back?
It's a gray area.
It is. I don't know. I feel like there's the kind way to look at it, and then there's the competitive way to look at it, which I like to think that most of the time those two things intersect. And you can be both kind and competitive. But I feel like in this instance, it's like other stuff that we've talked about on the show before a little bit.
Yeah, it is.
When we've talked about when I talked about my opponent giving his creature protection from the wrong color and not noticing it until I pointed it out.
Right.
And learning to be more of a hard ass on stuff like that. I feel like that's kind of part of this, maybe.
Yeah,
am I supposed to be like, you know what? Like, I'm really sorry. You made that mistake, man. I don't know. You shouldn't have made it. And if I accidentally drew too many cards off of a divination, I don't think that I would be in any way off put if my opponent, like, used the full extent of the rules and looked at my hand and took a card, I'd be like, yeah, do you know what? Like, I messed up.
Yeah.
Like, that was a pretty big mistake. I am lucky that I am not straight up losing the game right now. There you go.
Perfect. You know,
go for it, bro.
Well, that's all the news from the news vault. Until next time. News. Oh, you're doing the sound of a vault.
Yeah, that was the vault closing, like thumping shut, and then me turning that handle, like those big, you know, the big handle thing that looks like a tire iron on the front.
I mean, I seal it up. I get it.
I don't know what the problem is. I don't know why you're laughing at me. Maria.
Yes, Megan.
It was like a Nicolas Cage film. Our flavor text theater was a hit last week.
Every Nicolas Cage film is a hit.
Maria, shut up.
Do you know there was some Nicolas Cage news recently?
What?
Yeah.
Maria, tell us. We're honk. That's the newsman.
The Nicolas Cage newsman?
The Nicolas Cage newsman standing out in front of Nicolas Cage. Reporting from the field. Maria, tell us the Nicolas Cage news.
So one of the new Nicolas Cage news is that there's a giant Nicolas Cage bouncy castle that is set to tour the world.
What? So,
just FYI.
Wait, what does that even mean?
I mean, a Nicolas Cage bouncy castle.
What does that mean?
Imagine a bouncy castle with a giant Nicolas Cage head in it.
What?
Yep.
Why?
So you're lying. This is in Australia. What? Because that's what they do in Australia.
We're going to tweet an image of this because I'm still having trouble.
Yeah, okay, we'll tweet it. At MTAcast, follow us. Okay, this was a quote from the article. People can punch Nicolas Cage, they can hug Nicolas Cage, but no one will ever break Nicolas Cage ever.
Wow.
So it's like that a Nicolas Cage? I don't know. Anyway, that was the news I wanted to talk about. But now that I've mentioned that, I can't remember what the other news was.
I think that was good enough. I think that was it. That's what we were waiting to hear.
There was like some legitimate Nicolas Cage news, but now I've forgotten. Oh, yes. I remember what it was. That when he owned a house, I mean, I'm sure he does now, but then he went bankrupt and everything was crazy. An intruder broke into his home and stood in front of his bed eating a fudgesicle in the middle of the night. And he had to sell the house because he was so scared.
I mean, I would be too.
Me too. All right, that's the end of Nicolas Cage news.
As I was saying, like every Nicolas Cage film, our new flavor text Mad Libs were a hit. So we're going to do a little reprise.
Yes.
Reprise. I can't put the
reprise.
No, that's in music.
Oh, okay.
When we're not talking about fancy things like music, it's just a reprise.
Got it. All right, Mad Lib me, man.
All right, I need a noun.
Okay, pork chop.
Okay, I need a verb.
Cunning.
That's not a verb.
The act of cunning, Megan. The act of cunning.
That's not a thing.
Okay, fine, bitch slap.
Okay. Another verb.
Poop. To poop. Pooping. Pooped. Yes. Whatever you need.
A geographic location.
A Taco John's.
Okay.
Not even a Taco Bell.
An adjective.
Crispy.
A verb.
Shush.
Shush.
Too shush.
Okay. And a noun.
Chicken fingers.
This is gonna be really weird.
Is this one card?
Okay. This is one card.
Oh God.
The card is Yeva's Force Mage. And I will read the original flavor text. Nature can't be stopped. It rips and tears at Ravnica's tallest buildings to claim its place in the sun.
Oh God. Megan, can you even read it?
No. I can't.
Don't make this another Orange Julius moment like last week.
Oh, God. Pork chops can't be bitch slapped. It poops and tears at Taco John's crispiest buildings to shush its place in the chicken fingers.
Pork chops can't be bitch slapped.
I feel like that's the most coherent sentence that came out of that.
New show motto. Forget good luck high five. Pork chops can't be bitch slapped. That's so good. Just try it at your next Thanksgiving. If you have a pork chop, just try and bitch slap it. It won't happen. You can't. It won't happen.
Yeah. It really won't. Okay. New one. I need a noun.
Okay. Microwave popcorn.
Another noun.
Mark Rosewater's pants.
And an adjective.
Slimy.
Okay. I can't.
You can't do this again?
Where's the microwave popcorn in Mark Rosewater's pants? If it's not at least a little slimy.
What card is this?
This is Jesse and Thief. Where's the fun in an escape if it's not at least a little daring?
So read the new version.
Where's the microwave popcorn in Morrow's pants if it's not at least a little slimy?
Oh my God! This is the greatest game we've ever invented.
It really is. Another motto for the show, where is the microwave popcorn in Mark Rosewater's pants?
Yep. I mean, yeah.
All right. I need a plural noun.
Oh, okay.
One more.
butter sculptures.
Another plural noun.
Dragon shields.
Verb.
Sucker punch.
And a noun.
Nissa's mom.
We're really doing, like, this is a very cross-cultural. We've got some flavor of Minnesota in the butter sculptures, some flavor of magic, just, you know, a sucker punch in the middle. This is from Hitchclaw Recluse. The original says, not all spiders need webs to catch their prey. Not all butter sculptures need dragon shields to sucker punch Nissa's mom.
I mean, truer words were never spoken.
Never been spoken.
Oh, well, that's our show, everybody. Thanks for tuning in this week. Next week, we have a really exciting topic. We're going to talk about modern rotisserie draft. Really excited to talk about that. Megan and I are participating in one. If you don't know what that is, you especially should tune in next week. It's going to be an awesome show. So thanks for listening. If you want to support the show, if the show has given you at least one little laugh, how about you put one little dollar towards our Patreon? You can go to patreon.com/mtacast. We have super sweet rewards for becoming a patron of our show. You can follow us on Twitter, where we will tweet out that story about Nicolas Cage's bouncy castle at mtacast. Check out every single episode of the show ever on iTunes or magicTheAmateuring.com. Weekly new episodes are posted on the meadery.org as well as magicTheAmateuring.com. By the way, if you are a patron, you get notified ASAP whenever we post a new episode, so it's kind of a cool little perk as well. Whew, that was a mouthful.
Yeah, man. But good job taking it to town, man.
Yeah, If you guys, I would love it if you would send us what cards were your sort of all-stars in your pre-release weekend decks, or if you happen to have drafted with friends already, shoot us a tweet at MTAcast. I would love to know, or you can send us a message on Facebook right on our wall or something. It's facebook.com/MTAcast. We can hang out there as well.
Baller.
So until next time, guys, remember to drink that orange juice because it's full of flavor, and remember to throw knives at your opponent's heads when you want to kill them for lethal with a throwing knife.
Yeah, and remember that as we have determined here, that is a defense usable in a court of law.
That's right. Goodbye, everybody's.